We love hip hop.
What's up, man?
What's going on, man?
You hear me good?
Everything's good, What's man. Good? Oh, man, I'm chilling.
Good, man. Yo, I gotta start right away. The baby blue Rolls Royce.
It's in the shop.
Pretty tough, man. Yo, yeah, the convertible too. It's like, damn.
It's in the shop.
I don't think I've ever met anyone in my life who owned a Rolls Royce.
Well, I'll tell you one thing right off the top, Matt. Let me stop you. I don't own a Rolls Royce.
It's not yours?
That's not mine. I wish.
Oh, shit. So I was like, damn.
And I'll put some visual aid in the post edit for people who don't know what we're talking about here. I was at a video shoot / interview for Pressa. Right. And actually, no, it was for an artist named Dr. Zeus from the UK, a Punjabi artist from the UK. And Pressa was featuring on the song. So I was there interviewing both of them. So, you know, they got all the bells and whistles for stuff like that. They had the Rolls Royce the big ass mansion that we were filming in. So I was outside having a smoke and I was like, yo, let me take a picture in front
do
of this.
What the rappers do.
Exactly. It's always rented.
What the rappers do, bro.
Exactly. So I was like, nobody's going to believe this. That's the funny part. Like, nobody's going to believe this.
I'm like, damn, man, this guy's the real deal, bro.
No, I'm a fraud, bro.
No, but one other question I have for you before we get started.
Shoot.
I noticed that you use the RE20 mic, right?
I do.
In your studio.
I do.
I just bought one. It's on the way. Is there a reason why you picked that over SM7B? Because everyone seems to be using the SM7B. And I did a lot of research. I came with wanting the RE20 after doing some shit.
Well, my main, I guess when we first started doing the podcast back in 2017, I was watching the Joe Budden podcast. Mainly the Joe Budden podcast I was watching. And he had one of those RE20s, right? He had one.
That's all I got it to.
And Rory and Maul had different mics. But then eventually they all had uniform mics. And I was like, when I had enough money to get some mics, I was like, that's what I'm getting.
You did exactly what I did, bro. I copied Joe too. I was like, if the Podfather's using this, man, it's got to be good.
Exactly.
And then I noticed a lot more people use it too. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Right on, man.
No, they're great mics, man. And I've been using the same ones since 2018. So.
Yeah. I just sound treated my room. Like this is this monstrosity behind me. These two sound panels that I made. And I got three over there. The room sounds great now though. So I'm going all in on this, man.
So, okay. Before we even get into it, right? I like to do this when we do Zoom interviews. I like to examine the room that my guest is in. So are you at the crib right now and you set up a home studio?
I'm at the crib, home studio. Yeah. I wish I could turn the camera around and show you, but yeah. Okay. Yeah, these things behind me, I just built them.
Nice.
There's like, I'm trying to get the room right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. Dope. So let's get into it, man. I've been watching some of your videos now for the last few weeks. But then when I started doing my research, I was like, okay, this guy's been putting out some videos for a while now. Right. And the first one that caught my attention is the one that came out recently with the Drake, all the Drake disses that happened on the new album, on the new EP. Right. So, you know, I started doing my research, started getting a little bit nosy, like, yo, wait a minute. And I heard one thing that popped out in my mind. Right. And don't listen. We're going to give you a proper intro here. Okay. There's one thing that popped out in my mind when I was listening to another one of your Drake reviews. And you said Aristo, and I said, wow, this guy must know his shit. So I started doing a little bit of delving, reached out to you, realized even from some other videos that you're Canadian. And I said, you know what? I got to get him on the podcast ASAP. So with no further ado,
bro.
We have Matt from What's the Dirt in the motherfucking building. Welcome, brother.
What's good? Yeah. Welcome. Thank you, man. I appreciate it, bro. This is the first interview I've had, actually.
Well, listen, I'm not surprised because a lot of the times documentarians like yourself, and for the people who don't know, What's the Dirt is a YouTube channel that's out there. More than a, you're about to touch 100,000 subs, right? Or I think you passed that. You're almost there.
Right? Almost there, 5K away or 4K away.
Right. And, you know, you do documentary style videos where you're covering different things that are happening with different artists in hip hop and, you know, mainly around the culture. Right. So from our conversation, you told me that you came from Nova Scotia and went down to Vancouver, and you're in Vancouver currently.
Newfoundland.
That's even what I was going to ask you.
Yeah. Yeah, even farther. Yeah, because people like the Newfie accent is pretty easy to peg, but because I left when I was pretty young, like I left and moved to Alberta when I was a kid, when I was like 13. So it kind of got deadened a bit, my accent, but now a lot of people just think I'm from Nova Scotia.
I thought you said Nova Scotia, and I was watching one of your videos, and you're like, you know, places like Canada, and then you showed a map of Nova Scotia and Newfoundland. And I was like, okay.
Newfoundland, yeah.
So what was life in Newfoundland before you made your move to Alberta?
Well, man, I grew up in like rural Newfoundland. So it was anything but hip hop. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. We grew up just like, you know, driving quads and like, you know, playing hockey and shit like that. But when I moved to Fort Mac when I was 12, that's when I really got my introduction, because like that place is like a melting pot of all types of nationalities, right? Mm-hmm. It's all a big money town, so you got people from all over the place. So that's when I really started getting introduced to hip-hop and really fell in love with it from in grade like 7 or something like that, right?
And what prompted the move to Fort McMurray?
My parents had to for money. Yeah, they were broke, and when we went there we were really broke for a while. Basically grew up pretty poor, to be honest with you. But
and I know like Alberta is a popular mining town. There's a lot of the different natural resources that are going on over there. So like, did your parents move down there to get like those types of jobs in those types of industries?
Yeah, exactly. The oil sands, they call it, in Alberta. They were chasing that, just like a lot of people did, right? Like I said, that little town is like, you got everybody there, man. People come from all over the world to go there just to work. It used to be like that. Now it's kind of deadened down a bit. It's not what it once was when it was booming when I first moved there. But yeah. So then, yeah. And then I moved to Kelowna, BC.
Okay.
And this is kind of, yeah.
So where did you start going to high school? Were you in Alberta or were you in BC when you started going to high school?
I was in Alberta.
Okay.
Yeah. Alberta when I went to high school. Yeah.
What's an Alberta high school like, specifically Fort McMurray, right? Or Fort Mac, right? What's that look like? Like the melting pot of a Alberta or Fort Mac high school look like?
Bro, you got every nationality, I play ball with a team full of brothers and a lot of like East Indians. And like, it's just like, it's like Canada right there. You know what I mean? It's like what you think of when you think about Canada is it's as multicultural as it gets, bro. So it exposed me to a lot of different cultures, given the fact that I'm from Newfoundland, whereas it's not that cultured. It's getting more there. Like if you go to St. John's, Newfoundland, now the city, there's all types of nationalities. But when I was growing up, it wasn't like that. Yeah. It was just all white people, bro. Pretty much. Like, because people aren't going to go there because there's no money there. Like, why would you go there?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's mainly like fishing and stuff like that over in Newfoundland, right?
That was the main industry years ago, and it still like consumes probably 30% of people's occupations now, even today. Back in the day, though, historically, yeah, that's all it was, right?
Yeah.
It was fishing. I got my camera over here, man. I'm sorry if I'm not really looking in the direction of the camera.
No worries, man. So listen. This is the one thing that I'm watching these videos. They're very hip hop oriented. And I'm over here in Toronto, which everybody looks at as the hip hop mecca and stuff. But when did your hip hop journey start? Like, was it in high school? Like, when did you start getting into hip hop? Because you're definitely into hip hop, bro.
Yeah. No, I'm definitely into hip hop. I got into hip hop probably in grade 7 or 6. And to be honest with you, DMX, DMX was the first artist that really put me where I was like, yo, this guy sounds cool. Like, I want to listen to more of it. Hell is Hot or Dark,
it's whatever dark and hell
the
is
name
hot.
Of the album. Yeah. Dark as Hell is hot. Yeah, that was like my first real introduction. And believe it or not, Ludacris was another one that I was like, that helped get me into. And then, of course, I was introduced to Tupac. And then at one point, I think in grade 7, I had an email that was like Tupac's number one fan at hotmail.com or something like that.
Crazy.
I became obsessed with Tupac at one point. And then ever since then, man, it just hasn't changed. Like, it just, I became enamored with the culture, enamored with the music. And it just, now I'm 35 and it's just no different. I'm still still love this shit. Eat, live, and breathe it.
You ever try to rap? Everybody's trying to one, two bars.
Shit, man. But like, Newfie rapping is not really like, you know, it's not really.
That wasn't going to be your career path.
Nah, man. And I was like, it was pretty fascinating for me when I started making videos because I never thought that anyone would want to listen to a white dude, not just from Canada, but from Newfoundland with this accent, talk about hip hop. Mm-hmm. But then when I saw people like Trap Lord Ross like 4 or 5 years ago, I was like, yo, like, this guy's got it figured out. Like, he's doing hip hop, something that he loves, and he's making these dope little videos. And I said, I would love to do that. I would love to do what he's doing. And it took me a while to get there and actually pull the pin. It was only 1 year ago when I started the channel.
Yeah.
And it's like 14 months old, the channel.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I read the book, The Alchemist. I don't know if you ever read that book.
Great book.
And I read it for the first time 14 months ago, and I closed the book, bro. I closed it and I looked at my girlfriend and I said, I'm going to start the YouTube channel that I've been talking about for all these years. And I would say within 10 minutes of closing the cover of that book and finishing it, I had my mic ordered off Amazon, like just something $30 or whatever. I've upgraded a lot in the last 14 months, but that book is basically the reason why I started this YouTube channel, The Alchemist.
Crazy. Wow.
Yeah. It just connected with me, bro.
Yeah. That's amazing, man. And the documentary style of video that you're making, is that the first attempt at making YouTube videos ever? Or did you have any other type of YouTube videos before that?
We love hip hop.
Reaching to the sponsors, Diamond Club, with delivery all over the GTA and now all across Canada. They got the best selection of flour, edibles, and pens and all types of goodies that you need. You can find them on their Instagram page, DiamondClub_Canada, or you can find them on the 7 Days of Weed app as well as the Leafy Things app. Let them know that you heard about them through the We Love Hip Hop Network, and they may give you a discount. Big salute to Diamond Club. Cheer!
I had a cryptocurrency YouTube channel like pretty early on in the crypto, pretty early on. And it was one of the bigger cryptocurrency channels in Canada for sure. And what happened was my channel got hacked because I was a target for like these Asian and hackers and stuff.
Yeah.
So they took a lot of my assets. They hacked like my Facebook, like any account that I was associated with. They were on my sports check account, anything that they could get into. They didn't even know what it was. They were getting in there and they took a bunch of my assets and they were bribing me. They were emailing me to my other email from my email that they took over and saying like, I had to translate it because it was all like Asian like symbols or whatever, right? The way that they write. And it would be like, pay $50,000 now, get your account back.
Wow.
And I was like, well, I guess this dream. So I was like, man, I'm not doing this with these guys. So I shut the channel down and I didn't start this until like, I never came back to YouTube till like 7 years later, or 6 years later.
Dude.
Cause I just let that channel go. And there was nothing, believe it or not, bro, there's nothing that Gmail will do. There's no one you can get in contact with. There's nothing that you could do to get your channel like for, cause Gmail is free, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's nobody you could reach at all that will help you with it because they changed all my security questions. They changed all my everything.
They got you good. So because I've been hacked before, right? Like the channel that this interview was going on has been hacked in the past, maybe about 2 years ago or so. And I had to get onto the YouTube support team. Send them numerous emails. I guess they did an autopsy and figured out, okay, yes, I'm the owner of the channel, and they eventually gave it back to me.
It took
about a little bit over a week, right? So
yeah,
but that was just the channel that they took. They didn't take anything else.
they took my Gmail, which is attached to the YouTube account. So what they did was they disabled my YouTube channel. You can't see it. There's nothing on there anymore. They deactivated it or whatever. So it was heartbreaking at the time, man, because like shit was really cutting through for me in that industry at the time. And I was like, damn, like it's over now, right?
Yeah. That must have.
And I yeah.
No, dude, like that might have been a reason why you took so long to pull the trigger on making this new channel. It sounds like that's super discouraging, man.
Yeah, it is, man. It definitely was. But like I procrastinated on doing this because I watched people that were blowing up doing it. And I was thinking like, man, like no offense to that guy, but if he can do it, I know for sure I could come in and do it. I know I can't. And when I first started, it didn't do nothing. Like I was doing, I deleted a lot of videos that you don't see on my channel. But when I first started, I was covering like no jumper, like beefs and like when that breakup went down. And that's the type of content I was doing, right? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't doing anything. Like the most it would get is 2,000 views or whatever. And I did that for probably 4 or 5 months. And then I realized like, I got to change something, man. Like I got to do something different. These videos are not cutting through. It's really niche. And then I started doing more like broad topics in hip hop, like mostly hip hop beefs and shit like that, right?
Yeah. I see.
That's been working for me.
Like as of May, the upload that you put up on May 7th, 2023, this year, actually before that, one of your first uploads that I see on the channel right now is Drake versus Joe Budden. And that just has a few thousand views on it.
Yeah, no, it's Joe Budden. It's Joe Budden. How Pump It Up. How Up the Pump It Up record is an advantage for Joe Budden. That was one of the first ones I did. And yeah, again, like that's the type of views I was getting. But I think that's kind of what separates people from who will succeed on YouTube for people who don't. Because when you spend time making these videos and they're not hitting, and you think these ideas are amazing, but just no one seems to give a fuck about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then it can be discouraging and people quit. But I feel like that the main thing on YouTube to make it is to just keep not give up. Keep trying new things and know when something's not working too, right? Like if you've been doing something for 4 or 5 months and it's not working, then maybe it's time to refocus and try something new.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I did, right?
Yeah.
And now it's starting to build some traction finally.
Well, you had a video that hit like 2 million views back in that you uploaded in May. Where you covered Eminem and defending Eminem's hate, rappers defending Eminem's hate. What inspired you to make that video? And did you know when you uploaded it that it was going to get that much views?
I didn't. And it was purely because what I did was I was making videos. Like whenever I come up with an idea, it was never something that was algorithmic, right? Or something that was popular at the moment. And at that point, the Melly Mel shit was going on where he was saying shit about Eminem and there's people defending him and it was a hot topic. So I said, let's try and actually do something for once that is being talked about, that's actually active and see what happens. And it blew up. So I was like, okay, I was like, okay, clearly I haven't been picking the right topics. I need to start picking things that are more relevant at the time. And, that's kind of what I started doing aside from this Kid Rock video I did about him being a culture vulture.
That video was crazy.
Did you watch it?
I watched that. That was insightful and entertaining. I was like, wow, I did not know some of these things about Kid Rock's past. But I'll have a question about that later.
Okay, sure, sure.
No, keep going though.
Yeah, no. So then I'm like, what I really like about what I'm doing now is the fact that I couldn't be more happy that people are interested in hearing me talk about music still, because now we're in this ecosystem where all the bullshit is what sells. Like the more bullshit you talk about, the more views you get. So I know, I'm covering beefs, but at least I'm talking about bars and dissecting music and it's still about music. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm happy about. Like, wow, people still want to hear about music. This is cool. Even though like beefs might be a little bit negative, it's not violent. It's not like gang culture or gang politics. It's still about the music, so I'm happy that I'm getting some traction by talking about music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Listen, man, it's dope to see just the way that the momentum has started growing on the channel. And some of the different things that you do with your style of documentaries, like you get interviews from some of the people that were there or behind the scenes as well.
Yeah, I try to. Like in the beginning, I'd always hit people up, even when I had like 5,000 subscribers. No one would ever answer me back, right? But T-Bone, he was the first person I had. He was in the Kid Rock video.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the first person to give me a chance. And I'm like real good friends with him to this day. I talk to him all the time, just about daily.
Yeah.
And he's an OG from Detroit, man. And he's just got tons of crazy stories about Eminem. And like, he's a musician he's like 56 years old. He's an OG from Detroit. So it was cool for me to be able to talk with someone like that, man.
Yeah. And what even,
he's a cool dude.
What inspired to like say, you know what, instead of just doing the, you know, the editing with a whole bunch of different clips and, you know, maybe visual aids and stuff like that, let me tap in with the people at the same time and incorporate that into the video. What inspired that part?
What inspired that to me is like, what better way of adding validity to this topic? Because if I'm just on there talking to shit, sure, the video sounds cool. But if I got someone that actually knew this guy, who actually was with him from the very beginning, who actually, you know what I mean? That adds so much validity to the story,
mm-hmm.
that I got this guy in it. So that was my whole logic of doing it, man, to make it more valid, I guess, right?
Yeah. Well, listen, man, that was the job well done, man. Even like just to
thank you, bro.
To check out some of the other things, the obstacles and different things that we deal with as YouTubers, right? You know, especially with you who are, you're clipping a lot of different content together, clips from interviews, clips from songs, copyright issues. Have you ever had them?
And
how do you deal with them?
Yeah. Okay. So for the interviews and the clips and shit like that, because of the way that I edit shit, I've never had an issue with copyrighted clips. Now the music is another thing. So what I've been doing lately is, before I'll get all my audio into the, like my vocals, the music, everything that I'm using, I'll get into the video before I edit it. And what I'll do is I'll upload a sample of just the audio to YouTube to check. Okay, before I dive into this, let's see what I got to change or whatever, right?
Right.
And then like, for example, the Drake versus Kendrick video I did, I had about 8 different hits on copyright,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, and then I'm like, okay, I get my notebook out. Okay, this song between this time and this time, I got to change something. I got to try and trick it or do something. I change the pitch. I try to change the pitch. Then I upload that. Okay, that didn't work. It's still identifying it because it's getting smarter all the time, right?
Yeah, it's the algorithm. And, I mean, it's the AI. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, damn, even when I made it sound like chopped and screwed, like, it's still picking it up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's at that point, it's like, okay, maybe I got to cut this out and I'm going to have to just explain the bars and not even have the music play.
Yeah.
Because I can't get away with it, right? But a lot of time, like, yeah, that's kind of my way around. And it's not a foolproof system because who knows, man? Like, one of those videos, I could wake up one morning and it's like I got a red dollar sign there because it got hit.
Yeah.
It could happen later down the road, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They circle back and they're like, oh, that video right there, 18 and over, that one right there, there's a copyright on there, by the way. Like, and just for the people who don't know,
because
you mentioned the red dollar sign. For the people who don't know, and I'll put a visual aid on the screen as well, there's red dollar signs, there's a yellow one, and then there's the green one. The green one means it's fully monetized. It's, you know, you're going to get ads popping up and you're getting paid for the ads, right? If it's partially monetized, then you get a yellow one, which means the creator is going to make maybe cents on a video that has thousands of views, maybe even millions. And then you have the red, where there's a copyright issue in there. There's, mainly a copyright issue.
Mainly a copyright issue, yep.
Yeah.
Or it's like not suitable for advertisers at all, based on whatever you're talking about.
Yeah.
That one I don't run into too much issues with. because I tend to try and like censor different words and shit, like the F word. But it's always a copyright thing, man.
What about the yellow dollar signs? Like, do you have monetization issues sometimes? Like, have you ever been demonetized, like the whole channel?
No, I have never been demonetized. I was actually shocked that, because DJ Vlad, he's notorious for striking people's channels, even if you use like a couple second clip of his.
Yes.
I'm not sure if you've seen a video that I made, Joe Budden versus DJ Vlad. Oh, no, it was Joe. All the things that DJ Vlad did to Joe Budden to like kill his career or something like that, right? And Joe Budden actually shouted that video out on his podcast, which was a huge deal for me early on. He talked about it on the pod, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like, yeah, I remember that day when I woke up, it was comments from everyone. Joe talked about you on the pod. And I'm like, man, no way. Cause I've always been a huge Budden fan.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was surprised that Vlad, cause I know he knows about it. I know he's seen it. He's had to at this point, but nothing happened to the channel. Like nothing. It was kind of shocking. But as far as like the yellow dollar sign, I've only had one video with that where I couldn't, there's no way around it. The rest of them are all green.
So when you see that, like that one that you had no way around, were you like re-uploading it, you know, taking pieces out, like checking for different things and then trying it again and it just wouldn't change?
Painful. Yeah. Like I can't count how many times I uploaded the Drake and Kendrick video. Like at one point I looked at my YouTube studio and it was like pages of test one, test audio, this, like battling with it too, man, just to try and get it to work.
Damn.
And I mean, and then it was even at the point where I was like, yo, should I hit up Universal and try and ask them for like, to get a license for this one track? But like, I'm not Adidas. I'm not Nike. Like, you know what I mean? What are they going to charge me? They're not going to look at me as anything different.
Yeah.
So they probably charged me like 10 racks for it or something. Like it wouldn't even make sense for the video. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was like, cause I know they're not going to look at me as anything different than whatever they charge for that song. I would get charged for.
Well, I know even like you mentioned Vlad, he's very strict with his stuff and I think his price is 20 racks. He doesn't care how long it is. If it's a minute and he doesn't want it there, 20 racks and you can have it. I'm just like, there's no use. Like if it's 20 racks, you're basically paying him to use to make the video.
Yeah. And see, a lot of people get caught up with the whole fair use thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what people don't realize about fair use is YouTube doesn't deem what's fair use. YouTube only deals with copyright or whatever. Fair use would be like if Vlad hit me up for a copyright strike and then I wanted to contest it, basically what Vlad is going to do, he's going to fill out a piece of paper that says, all these clips are mine in this guy's video. YouTube's going to get that and say, they're going to check and say, yep, okay, yep, that's his. And they're going to say, fair enough. They hit me with the strike.
Yeah.
I can contest a strike. I can contest it and say, no, this is fair use. But YouTube is not the ones in charge of that. The only person who could do that is it had to go to court. It had to go to court. I'd had to go to court with DJ Vlad. Now, am I going to go to court with DJ Vlad over a video that I didn't even make $1,000 on? So that's why these big fish like Vlad can do what they're doing.
Yeah.
Is because people aren't going to go to court with them, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it works. I did a lot of research on this shit because I hear people say fair use all the time and I wanted to try and get to the bottom of it, right?
Yeah, that can be a little bit tricky. You got to be deemed like a radio station or a media company to get put under that fair use clause, right? So
yeah, because you own a media company, right? So
yeah, and I do try to apply sometimes for fair use when it comes to Instagram and certain things like that. And a lot of times I do get through, like they'll, you know, reinstate the video. But, you know, at the same time, I'm independent. So I'm depending on them to be able to go through the channel or go through my different networks and see, okay, yeah, they're official, right? But I'm not CBC or something like that where they can just say, well, I can use 2 minutes of the clip. What are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a fact.
right?
Yeah, it's interesting, man. I mean, like, the era that we're in right now, it's like, I feel like the copyright thing is worse than ever on YouTube because people are just blatantly uploading other people's shit and, like, no commentary, no dialogue, no, mm-hmm. no nothing. They might put some text on there or whatever. And it's like, this is not really creating, guys. Like, it's, in my opinion, this is just low-level bullshit that shouldn't. That's what, to me, that's what the copyright stuff's for.
Yeah.
Is people doing that type of shit, right?
Yeah.
But if it's transformative and you're editing it in a way that I do and other people do, I mean, it's like, it takes a lot of effort to do that.
Yeah, no, most definitely. And even with some of your videos, like we were talking about earlier, you got a response, or Joe Button mentioned one of your videos on his podcast. You know, you make a lot of videos that expose certain things about different artists that I didn't know about, including Kid Rock. Mm-hmm. Have you ever received any responses from videos like a Kid Rock video or something like that? Like, bro, shut the fuck up, man. Like, you're going way a little bit too hard in the paint on this one on me. You know what I mean?
Yo, when it comes to the Kid Rock topic, I knew exactly what I was going to get because I know the demographic of like degenerate white people who are going to be in the comment section who are like right wing far. Like, I knew those people were coming. Right. Mm. And what blows my mind is like, we got it pretty good here in Canada, man. Like, say what you want. People say what they want about this place, but it's different over there, man. Like, and I could just see it from the comments, man. It's like very divided. And, yeah, I got a lot of hate from people on that, but I was expecting it, right?
Yeah.
Because I know what he brings, right?
Fam, just watching that video just revealed so many things that I had no idea about, man.
Yeah, there's a few of my creator buddies that, like, when I told them I was doing Kid Rock, they were like, like, who's going to watch that? Like, really, who's interested in Kid Rock? And in hindsight, it was a bad topic, but it somehow found an audience. I'm not sure if it's like really totally a hip hop audience at this point, but it found an audience.
yeah.
Somehow.
Listen, fam, it's definitely something that can, it goes back into hip hop because he came from hip hop, and you know, a lot of people who are in the culture would like to probably share that and were like, hey, did you know that he said the N word this many times? Like, did that pass over our head? Like, whoa. Right? So,
the Confederate flag, the. Yeah.
Like, so, it was definitely a relevant topic.
Yeah. Well, I hear people talking about culture vultures a lot. And the reason why I did is because I get comments calling me a culture vulture, right?
Mm.
So, I'm like, okay, this seems to be a thing or whatever. And I'd be lying if I said it didn't bother me because just of how long I've loved hip hop.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, if people are interested in this, why don't I do a topic on what an actual culture vulture really looks like?
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of my motivation for doing the video on Kid Rock, is being like, this guy just entirely switched up. You know what I mean? Like, he abandoned all the people that helped him. He not only did he abandon hip hop, he like shit on it after, and like, you know, shit on its people after. So it's like, I don't think there's anyone as bad as him when it comes to being a culture vulture.
Hey, listen, Kid Rock walked. So, what's the other guy's name there? Malone, Post Malone can run.
Oh, yeah. No, Post Malone will be another really good episode of that rendition I got going there.
Yeah.
But I think someone else has already covered it, because that's one of the things I try my best to do. Is like, when I think of an idea, I'm like, who else did this? You know what I mean? Let me check on YouTube. Because the 9 chances out of 10, if it's a good idea, someone else already did it, right?
Yeah.
So if I go on YouTube and I see like, oh, Trap Lord Ross covered it, I'm like, well, what's the point in me diving into this? He did his research. I'm not going to find anything new about it. He's got it covered. So just let him have that. But then if I see a video where I'm like, okay, it has been covered, like the Kendrick and Drake shit has been covered many times. They're only 10-minute videos, like, of just showing the subliminals back and forth. Like, there's no context about, you know, how Drake helped him early on in his career, or like award shows, or where this guy's album comes out and this guy puts it right after. And, you know, like the competitiveness that's all part of the narrative to me that just wasn't ever shown. So
yeah,
that's why I was like, okay, I will do this topic, because even though some other people did it, I think I can do more justice of the topic.
Yeah. And also, right? You have your own editing style and narration style that you bring to the table. So even if somebody else covered a topic, they might not have covered it like you did. And like you mentioned, with the amount of research that you put into it.
Yeah, and that's something I was really passionate about when I came into this, to be honest with you, was having my own identity. Because I look at this video essay space right now, and there's every man and his dog are doing these documentaries now, but 95% of them, they're indistinguishable. They all look exactly the same. It's the same editing, same setup, same everything. And I didn't want to fall into that, you know, what everyone else is doing. So it was important for me to bring my own flavor. Like, ideally, I want someone to be able to look at one of my videos and be like, okay, that's a What's the Dirt video. That, you know, yeah. You could tell by just watching it that that's me, because like I said, Trap War Ross, he inspired me to start, but I didn't come into it wanting to be Trap War Ross or trying to replicate what he's doing or copy his titles or copy. It's funny, because I had a YouTuber 2 days ago, a guy with 1 million followers. He hits me up and he says, hey man, do you mind if I use your title for this video I got coming, like the exact same title? I'm like, man, like, I'll be honest with you, no, like, I don't own the title. It's not mine, but yeah. I'll be real honest with you. I think it's corny as fuck that you're doing it. And he's like, what? I'm like, to me, like, I'm being honest with you, bro. I said, like, the last thing that I would do is if I seen you had something going on is copy it. Like, that's the opposite of what I do. Mm-hmm. So I think it's corny that, but sure, use it. It's not mine.
Yeah.
But it's the furthest thing from original. And yeah, like, I lost respect for that guy right off the rip. His name's Luista. Fuck it, I'll give you a clip.
Oh, it's Luista.
You know Luista?
I do. I watched some of his videos. That's crazy.
Yeah, so that dude, and the first conversation I had with this dude, I'm giving you clips today, man. First conversation I had with this dude, I had him on the phone, and he was like, we talked about Trap Lord Ross, and he told me, yeah, I use some of it. Like, I like using his research to make my own videos. And I was like, what? And then I was like, I didn't say anything, but that rubbed me the wrong way. And then when he asked me for the title, I was like, yo, this is what this guy's about. So, and then that's what I'm seeing people do. And it's like, there's nothing original about that. I don't know. That's just me, man.
That's crazy. And then, you know, just, because I watched Luista's videos, you mentioning that kind of like opens like unhatches something in my brain. Like, how many other people are moving slimy like that in these YouTube streets, man? Well,
listen, they added me to a Discord group. He was like, yo, I got a YouTuber Discord group. Wonder if you want to be a part of it. We all talk about, you know, how to pop off on YouTube. So this is where I went off with Autumn. It was in this group because the last straw was I seen that. Do you know Patrick CC?
Okay, hold on, because I need to restart a new meeting. Big Salute to Steven Hot Grabba with a variety of different grabba flavors and dispensers. They got Red Rose Grabba, that Red Herring Grabba, and Peanut Butter. Hit them up on their Instagram page, Steamin' Hot Grabba, and use the code WeLoveHipHop and receive a discount on your order. Again, you can find them on Instagram, Steamin' Hot Grabba. Now let's get back to the show. Cheer!
We back.
And listen, I got ad breaks from my sponsors and stuff that pop up in there. So don't even worry about it.
Oh, perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect.
That's when I'll throw in one of the sponsor ads.
Yeah. Okay. I'll circle back though. All right.
Let's recalibrate into this story here. We left off with Luista asking if he can reuse the same title that you used. And then we got to a part where you're going to tell me about a group chat that he's in with Patrick CC and other YouTubers.
So no, Patrick CC is not in a group. It's some other YouTubers. Like, I don't know most of them, but they're all doing video essays, right? So they all talk to each other and, you know, share ideas, and which was what I thought the group was for. But then the more I'm looking at the group, I'm seeing like they're sharing Patrick CC's thumbnail from his video and saying, copy this.
Wow.
Copy what he's doing. This is a perfectly good thumbnail for you to. And then once I saw that is when I went off on the group and I said, like, guys, like, this group's not for me, man. Like, this whole copying thumbnails and copying titles and stealing people's research. Like, this is not what I'm about, man. Like, I'm fucking out of here, right? And then they got me on a call, Luista and all those guys. And then I'm trying to explain to them, like, how do you not think it's corny? How do you not think it's corny to watch Trap Lore's video that probably he spent months creating, and you're going to take his research and regurgitate that into another video, and you don't think that's corny? You think that's okay? And he's like, yeah, we don't see the big deal. And I start thinking, I'm like, this guy is 24 years old, right? He's 25. I'm 35. I'm 10 years older than him. Mm-hmm. So I start thinking, this is the difference in the eras where I'm looking, even at hip hop itself. If we bring it back to hip hop, like, no one sounds, they all sound the same now.
Yeah.
Like, where it's not like, who sounds like Exhibit? Who sounds like DMX? Who sounds like Cam'ron? Who sounds like any of these guys? Jim Jones, whoever. Everyone had their own unique sound, but this is the mentality of not just within the music, but the whole everything. They don't think it's a big deal to copy this shit. And it's just, it blows my fucking mind, because I'm like, why would you not want to have your own identity?
Yeah.
I'm like, how many Sonny V2 replicas are there? How many people are trying to replicate what he's doing with the cartoon thumbnails and the, with the, they make the, you know, whoever they're talking about look like a cartoon. It's like, in the beginning it looked dope, but to me, I just scroll past them now because it's oversaturated, because everybody's doing the same thing.
I'm writing down a term that right now, while you're speaking, it's, I'm going to call this documentary auto-tune, because that's what that is right there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it is, bro. Documentary auto-tune. Precisely. It's like, but they tried to argue with me on the whole thing. And I was like, if I can't get it across, they're like, well, he said to me, Luista, he said, well, 99% of the people on YouTube are copying titles and copying thumbnails and copying topics. So I guess you're just going to be the 1%. And I said, exactly. I said, that's what I want to be. I want to be the 1%. I don't want to be the 99%.
Yeah.
That's why I'm fucking doing this. I was like, that's what you don't get. And he's like, I don't know. It just ended at there. I left the group and I was talking to another one of my buddies. He's a YouTuber. He's not doing hip hop or nothing, but he blew up like 4 or 5 years ago on YouTube. And he told me, he's like, Matt, man, YouTubers are corny. Mm. He's like, a lot of them. He's like, I try and avoid these guys, man. There's a lot of fake shit. And it just blew my mind, man, like that. And then I get to looking at like a lot of these guys and they're not really doing the creating. Like they're hiring people to do their scripts. They're hiring people to do their editing. Another YouTuber, Hello Yassin. Do you know him?
Hello Yassin.
Yassin.
Yeah.
Yes. So he had a popping ass channel 2 or 3 years. Like, you know, I always looked up to this guy, inspired by him. You go look to his channel now. The dude can't even crack 10,000 views on a video. Why? Well, you could tell. I know exactly what he's done, because he's pumping out 4 and 5 videos a month now, but he's trying to optimize his profit. And what he's done is he's hired writers, he's hired editors, he's hired people to do his thumbnails, people to do his scripts. So all this guy got to do is do this, what I'm doing right now, talking to the mic.
Yeah.
But it's coming across and it's coming across in his content. He's not invested in what he's talking about, because how could you be? How could you be inspired or invested in something that you really had no part in creating?
Yeah.
Like you're reading someone else's idea. Like to me, that's part of the whole creative process, is coming up with the title, coming up with the topic, writing the script, doing the editing. Like that to me is all like you're basically removing the creator aspect out of your channel.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why his channel is going down the toilet because of it, is because he's, you're getting greedy, more or less, is how I see it.
Well, you know, just to stay on Yassin for a quick second, like he started diversifying the topics, I guess. Like he started talking about not still hip hop, but not actually not even hip hop. Sometimes he would just talk.
Oh,
he would
man,
talk
he's doing about, random shit.
Yeah,
so random shit. Actually, aliens and all kinds of shit.
Yeah. So now that you broke it down, I'm like, And one
That's
more
what
thing,
he's doing.
Even with that group, okay, I don't want to get too spicy when it comes to this, but who else was in that group? Because I know Trappler Ross has issues with a page called Hip Hop Daily. And he says that those guys have taken his content, just reuse it over and over again. And just some of the moves that you're explaining from the Luista guy, I feel like maybe they might have been in that group chat too.
Some overlap, yeah. There's Official Ronnie is one guy's name. Like, most of them are, I can't even recall their names, bro. Luista is the big fish in there.
Okay.
And that's why I got kind of bent. I got even more bent into shape. I'm like, yo, bro, like, you're a YouTuber with 1 million subscribers. You're coming to me with less than, I have 1/10 of what you have. Mm-hmm. You're seeing that I'm popping off, right? You're seeing my shit's getting traction, and now you want to copy the title. Like, to me, that's fucking corny. It's not authentic. It's not organic. It's not original. It's just bullshit.
Yeah.
I don't want no part of it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's not to me what I came. I didn't come into this just for money. Like, I love making the videos, every bit of it, all of it. That's why I do it. Like, I wouldn't do it if I didn't like doing this shit, right?
Yeah.
It's not just for the money. So I'm trying to make the best videos that I could possibly make.
That's real talk right there. And even with the script and stuff like that, and, you know, just, you know, bouncing off of the controversy there, what's your thoughts on AI scripts? Or like partially AI, like, created scripts?
I think AI is a good tool for, like sometimes I'll write something out, right? In Word or whatever, like when I'm making my script. And I'm like, how can I make this sound a little bit more appealing? Like this one little piece to the set here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll put it into the AI. And sometimes it just blows it out where it's like, bro, I'm a newfie. Like, God, like, you're giving me too many big words right now. Like, I'm like, this is way, like, I try and read it and I'm like, nah. Cause like when you're reading the script, you want to come off as natural. You don't want to sound like you're reading something, right?
Yeah.
You want to sound like you're having a conversation like you and I are having. So when I'm trying to read some of that AI shit, it kind of gets a bit complicated, but I've used it for that and that's about it.
Yeah. And even like with some of these YouTubers and stuff that we're talking about here, right? Have you been following the whole Illuminati downfall? Have you ever communicated even with, like, cause you've, now that you're, you're a big fish in this game, dude, like, you know, I don't know if you know this, but to us over here, you're a big fish in this game, bro. So I'm feeling like you're going to get these people who are contacting you and stuff like that. But you've been following the whole Illuminati downfall, right? What's your thoughts on that, man?
I've watched a lot of videos about it, but it seems like every other day there's a new video about it. So as far as I know, her channel has gone down the toilet. Like, she was once getting like 500,000 to 1 million views on every video.
Mm-hmm.
And I just looked at her channel the other day and she's only getting like 30,000, 40,000. It's crazy.
That's
a crazy drop in just two months. Like, it just goes to show, man, like, your reputation is really what precedes you. Like, the people could switch up on you pretty quick. Like, you know, this is not forever.
Mm-hmm.
You got to stay on your P's and Q's. It's like, because she was a big deal. She was one of the biggest video essay people on the internet.
Yeah.
She's pretty up there with the Sunny V2s of the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like, much of what I know, that like a lot of her old employees are like exposing her and shit, right? Like people that she had worked for, and like she was kind of automating her whole channel, right?
Yeah. Well, like, do you think now that you're seeing the view count, like, now 10,000, 30,000 tops, right? And, you know, in 2023, we've watched a few YouTubers fall from grace, but I think that's one of the highest falls from grace that we've seen. Do you think that she'll be able to turn that channel back around? And if so, what would be a strategy? Like, let's say you were in that position, maybe not exactly the same details, obviously, but your channel went down all the way down to this amount of views. What would be your strategy to bring you back up to prominence?
Damn, like, I think at this point, the people have turned against her. Like, the people are not on her side anymore. The thing that she needs to do really first is to do a face video on camera and explain to the people, like, fess up to the shit that she's done wrong, obviously, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if there's things that she's done wrong, she needs to come forward and address them to the people. Like, everyone's not perfect. People will understand that you have faults, but she's not really gonna, until she comes forward with the things that she's done wrong and kind of speaks on some of the things that people are talking about, I don't think she's going to be able to really see past it. But as far as her being able to make a full comeback to where she's at, I don't think she can do it. Although, you know what? We got to look at like someone like Logan Paul, right?
Who, Bow.
Like, you know, like Logan Paul was down and out. No one thought he was coming back from that. And now even with this Crypto Zoo shit, like it's like he still finds a way to make you forget about this shit. Mm-hmm. He's like a mastermind at making you now he's like the WWE champ or something like that. Like it's like the dude is a genius as far as all that shit goes, man. So if he could do it, she could do it.
Yeah, man. I see Prime at the Esso when I go get gas, man. I've been thinking about, hey, I might want to buy a can of that Prime and try the shit out, man. You know what I'm saying?
I got one in the fridge out there right now, actually.
See what I'm saying? He got you. The power of Logan Paul, man.
Yeah, the power of Logan Paul, bro. He got me, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Yeah, no, man. Like, no hate on him. Now, I think he owns like a market share of that company. Like, he's the face of the company, but him and the other guy, KSI, they're like KSI. The faces of the company, but I don't think there's like bigger players at play, like, who really own that company.
Yeah,
like, but it's not just two of them.
You just mentioned somebody.
Let's just put it this way.
Sorry, go.
Yeah. He's getting some cake off it. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. And he's somebody like Illuminati who we were having this conversation about who fell from grace after that that Japan video. He was on cancel mode. And now people are buying drinks to have his face attached to them. You know what I'm saying? He got a Prime chain and people are not like, oh, I'm not buying that Logan Paul shit. You know what I'm saying? People are like, hey, let me try this out.
It's wild.
So that's a total image turnaround. Wild. And he's still the bad guy.
Yeah, he's like an anti, like, yeah, he's like the guy that, and I feel like he plays into it a little bit too.
He's the heel.
I feel like Jake Paul was once like neck and neck with him as far as like, the antics and shit, but I feel like he's kind of separated himself from, he's just going all in on the boxing now. Mm-hmm. He seemed to have matured quite a bit, but Logan Paul is just still a wild card.
Yeah. No, real talk, man. And, you know, just to change gears quickly here, the Toronto scene, because you have a few videos on, well, multiple videos on Drake, and we all know Drake's the top Toronto export when it comes to the music scene. But Trapler Ross did do a video, the deadly something in the six, right? Where he covered all of the underground Toronto rappers. Are you hip to that scene? Mm-hmm. The scene that basically I cover a lot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. To be honest with you, not overly. Like, as far as I would go, like, I wouldn't consider Roy Woods or like Preem or any of those dudes to be underground. Like, but as far as like the whole drill sounding music, if that's kind of what they're doing, like, I'm not really big in the drill scene whatsoever. Like, it's just not really my bag, to be honest with you. Nothing against it, but like, if we're talking about a Canadian artist that I think is really dope, I would be going with Quake Matthews. So I would go with Quake Matthews, who's Quake. And actually, it's funny, like, King of the Dot is what really inspired a lot of my editing style. Like, when they were doing their promos and shit back in the day, Organic and those guys, like something that they don't get a lot of credit for, something that they really don't get any credit for is the fact that they're the inventors of that style. Like they came into battle rap really doing these promos and like spending so much extra time on production.
Yeah.
And all these leagues followed suit and they had a lot of firsts. They were the first to do pay-per-views. They were the first to do group battles, joint battles. So those guys have been inventing. So if you look at some of my videos, like where I got like Joe Budden versus like Vlad in the beginning of the video, I've got like an intro that's almost like a promo that you would see for battle rap because it's inspired by that, right? I kind of went left there on that, but Quake, I really like Quake, man. He's been going for like 15, 20 years. He hasn't compromised his sound at all. He's just been a true MC at heart. And I see people like these, like Tom McDonald, for example. He's from Canada.
Yeah, yeah, from Victoria.
But a complete gimmick. A complete gimmick, in my opinion, who's gotten popular off this gimmick that he's doing. And then there's people like Quake and other people who, like, you know, they refuse to do that. And it just, they get overlooked. You know what I mean? Yeah. It kind of pisses me off to see people like that who blow up off a gimmick because they can't do it otherwise.
Yeah, man.
The Toronto scene, not, I'd like for you to send me some cats, actually. Like, after this call, send me a bunch of underground rappers from Toronto so I can, like, check them out.
Well, the beauty, and I'll definitely make that happen, the beauty of what we're doing over here is I interview, you know, guys like Quake Matthew, right? And a multitude of underground artists, as well as, you know, guys who have, you know, have a bunch of accolades, like Quake Matthews and Cardinal Official. But then, you know, I could put you on to somebody like a OKG D-Lo. We did a recent interview. Actually, I interviewed Castro from the Come Down Collective not too long ago. So I'll send you, go through the channel, go through the interview.
Let me go through the channel and watch what you've been doing.
Yeah, go through the interview playlist. And you'll see, like, the Pressas of the world and Bundog and all these different guys who end up in the blogs and stuff out here who, you know, either they're famous or infamous and stuff like that for Toronto. You'll find all of that in the We Love Hip Hop catalog, brother.
Yo, I gotta say, man, I love that you're doing that, too, because something that as my channel grows, I've really wanted to do in some way is to help, like, Canadian hip hop artists in any way that I can. If there's a way that I could shine a light on some of these Canadian artists at all, it's something that I intend on doing somehow in years to come or whatever. And the fact that, because at the end of the day, there's not a lot of people who are doing what you're doing for these artists, right? Now, I don't know what the ecosystem's like in Toronto, because there's probably other people doing it as well, but at your level, I think it's, like, really dope that that's kind of your agenda, is to help these guys, right? Shine a light on them.
No, salute, man. And, you know, just to add on to that, there isn't a lot of other hip hop podcasts over here in Toronto, unfortunately. Weirdly enough, actually, because we got so many people who live here and so many people who are part of the culture out here who, you know, we're pretty much one of maybe three platforms that promote hip hop, like, you know, from a podcast standpoint. There's a bunch of blogs. Don't get that wrong. There's a hell amount of blogs. But even when it comes to you know, the scene that we have over here and stuff like that, you know, one of the things that we also had to deal with is getting our channel taken down. I'm on my second channel. Right?
Really?
Yeah. I'm on my second channel. So I had to I had to start a new channel back in July of 2018, start re-uploading all of the old videos. So a lot of these classic videos that you're seeing are re-uploads from the, you know, maybe 2 years ago uploads or 3 years ago uploads, right?
Yeah.
Now, stuff like that now kind of messes you up in the algorithm, because the old channel, I used to upload a video, it would do 10,000 videos and 10,000 views in the first few hours. Okay. How do you now navigate through figuring out the YouTube algorithm as it changes? Okay.
Honestly, man, there's so many people, like, on YouTube, like these YouTube gurus, and, like, they're all claiming, like, you got to do this and that and a third to, like, be in the algorithm. And I feel like no one really has this thing really understood. Like, it's very complex. For me, like, I think just staying with relevant topics is really the way to do it. But if you can make great art, I feel like at the end of the day, it will see the light.
Yeah.
It will cream will rise to the top. I also got to applaud you on, like, this is what I was talking about earlier. Remember when I said what makes people succeed on YouTube is not giving up. I mean, you could have give up when, cause that's discouraging as could possibly get when you lose your channel. Like, you got to start over from the beginning. And although you do have a loyal fan base where you're going to get a good amount of people to come, it's not, you're not going to get your traction that you had right away.
Yeah.
It's going to take months and months and years to get it back. So how long did you have that channel going for before it went down?
That channel originally was my music channel. right? I used to be an artist once upon a time. So I had that channel, I think, since 2012. And I was uploading my music videos to there. And then actually, even before 2012, but in 2012, 2013, I started really getting more serious about making YouTube videos and then just doing vlogs and reaction videos and all types of stuff. So I had so much content on there pre-podcast that when 2017, when I started doing the podcast, everything moving forward was all podcast content, right? But then by 2018, the channel got zapped because of some of that old content, you know, some of those reaction video copyrights. Right. And I used to upload some wild shit, dude. I ain't even going to lie to you, man.
Yeah. Well, it was easier back then too. Like, it was a little bit easier. It's gotten a lot more strict. The thing with podcasts, like, I feel like every man and his dog kind of, like, new podcasts pop up every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just homies in their garage or whatever, like, and just on the couch or whatever. And it's like, I think podcasting is pretty oversaturated too, because I find it's very difficult. I was telling my buddy this the other day because he wanted to start a podcast, and I told him to cut through in podcasting. I feel like it's very difficult to get, like, the only people who really have a lot of success right off the rip is someone like a Cameron, or someone who's, you know, Mace, who's already got an audience, and they start and then the audience is going to tune in. But if you're just some nobody, like, and it's just you and your two buddies and you're going to start a podcast, you're going to need to put in hundreds of episodes. And then still, even if you're talking about relevant topics, it's going to take a lot for someone to click and be like, who, like, let's see what these guys that I don't know anything about got to say about this. Like, it's kind of difficult with the number of podcasts that there are when they could just go see Joe Budden talk about it or academics talk about it. It's the same with news, hip hop news, because I tried to do that for a little bit. And it's like, there's so many big hip hop news channels where it's like, those big fish are the ones who are really eating up the viewership on those topics, right?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot. But yeah, man, like the video essay thing that I'm doing now, the documentary thing, I know eventually that this too will pass. Like, because I was talking, I don't know if you know YouTuber Philip Solo. He was a YouTuber from Vancouver. He was the first person to ever do, you know, those videos eating at the worst restaurants in my city, staying at the worst ranked motel in my city. So he was the first person to ever do that type of content, but he was doing a lot of vlogs and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And now his vlogs, back in a few years ago, his vlogs were getting 300,000, 400,000 every vlog, views, right? 500,000 views every vlog.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's not, like, vlogs have almost ended. Something I never thought we'd see happen.
Yeah.
But they're not successful anymore the way they used to be.
Yeah.
So it makes me wonder about this documentary thing. It's like, how long is this going to last? Because this too will probably pass.
Well, where do you think it's going to go next? That's you literally led me right to my next question. Like, where do you think the documentary style essay videos are going to go to in the future? Is it going to evolve into a new thing or just be something else completely?
I think they're just going to keep getting better for the first little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, as far as the production goes, like, I really tried in my videos personally to really add, like, I spent an extra amount of time on the editing, right? Someone like a Trap Lord Ross, I said this not long ago, I could picture him doing like a brand deal or like some sort of deal with Netflix or like something like that where he's got like a 10 episode thing on Netflix or Hulu or I could picture that happening at some point. Because what he's doing is just next level, right?
Yeah, 4-hour videos.
I can't do it though. I can't do a 4-hour video. Me personally. Did you watch it?
I watched it in pieces. I couldn't do it in one sitting.
Me too, yeah. But still, it's impressive.
Yeah.
So, I know, because it takes me, like, to put together the Drake and Kendrick video, that took me 5 weeks to make that one video, right?
Wow.
Two weeks of research and then 3 weeks of being in here for 15, 16 hours a day, just doing it.
That's crazy, because a lot of times when people see these videos And I know because I make documentary pieces every once in a while. And like, that's not my, because I do a podcast, I can't just focus on making documentaries as well. But when I do make them, those things take some time, man, and effort. Like,
they do.
Just broke down right there. You said 5 weeks, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the longest it's ever taken?
The Kid Rock video took me 2 months.
Holy shit.
I had interviews with him and shit. But it's, if I slacked off a little bit on the editing, like if I didn't go as hard, I could make it go quicker. But I think like people got the attention spans of so minimal where I feel like the extra shit is needed now.
Mm-hmm.
Like even on my Drake vs. Kendrick video, which is a 47-minute video, I've still managed to maintain 50% retention. So that's actually very, very good for like to get people to watch it. The average amount of people are watching it for 20 minutes at least.
Yeah.
Or 20 something minutes, right? And that's why I go extra hard on the editing. Is for that reason. And the sound effects and the, you know, sound design and like the booms and the, you know what I mean? Like all these sound effects and try to make it cinematic
mm-hmm.
as possible.
No,
but yeah, I think you would do really well doing video essays on, because you've got the knowledge of all the underground Toronto people. Is there anyone doing like little documentaries on those guys?
There are a couple of guys over on our side who do them. That the tricky part about them is that they're faceless. So when they make the videos about the underground guys over here, especially when it gets a little dicey, because a lot of these guys have some crazy criminal cases that are out there, right? So now if you're doing the full breakdown on so-and-so and murders that are alleged to that person, a lot of those guys, actually all of them, 100% of them, you don't see their face. They don't see you don't see the person, the narrator pop up on the screen like yourself or like Ross every once in a while and they start talking and then it cuts back to the video. That never happens. It's just all visual. Yeah. and some of them, like the voices are muted. So like, it's like, are augmented in a way.
They're
so
changed,
like
you don't even, altered.
It's altered, bro. So they don't want no smoke. So I've thought about it many times and I have videos that I tote the line, you know, I got a Toronto rappers in jail video, but I've interviewed all these different guys. I don't go super deep into the story. I keep it music like how you do.
Right.
And don't get into the really gritty details because I still got to go walk over to the Tim Hortons or wherever, man. And people recognize me in the street for what I do already. Yeah. So I'm not trying to be the one who
100%.
Let you know about something that nobody knew about. Like you guys to keep that one, man.
That's actually something that I've, number one, I just don't feel like as a white dude from Canada, like I don't feel like I have any business talking about that type of shit, right? Like I can keep it to the music and keep it respectful. And that's kind of where I'm going to keep it with my channel. Like I don't want like all power to Trap Lore and all those guys, like what they're doing, dope. But I'm not going to take my channel in that direction.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's just not where I want to go. I don't even really find it overly, I guess it is interesting, but it's just like I said, what do I know about LA gang life, you know what I mean? What do I know about like what these brothers are going through? Like it's just like it's not something I'm going to be doing.
Yeah,
let's just say. And you can save this actually, because save this clip. I will never cover that type of content on my channel.
Okay, listen, man. If I ever see any videos, the gritty streets of Jane and Finch. and the internal gang war. Clip back to this interview over here, and you hold Matt to the fire. Okay,
you got a clip. You're like this guy, man.
Yeah.
No, 100%, man.
No, man.
I mean, I think we could. I think I've proven right now that I could still get the numbers talking about. I mean, there's an infinite amount of hip hop beefs that I can cover that weren't violent, where we got some good bars and. It's just dope to talk about the music, man. So I'm going to keep it to that. I'm doing Common and Drake right now. Common versus Drake. It was a very small thing, but I'm just going to put that one out next. A little short video.
Yeah, that's what I would actually, listen, fam, you might have a future in podcasting, because that was my next question. Like, what's the next videos, what's the next plans, you know, for what we can see, like, from, you know, what's the dirt.
It would be cool to do a podcast, man. I just don't know. Like, I've considered trying, like, even though I've got 90,000 subscribers right now, I've never tried to go live before and do like a live stream. I'm curious because that can be pretty lucrative if you've got a good connection with the people that you're with. I see the shit that these people be donating. They've only got like a couple hundred viewers, but they're making $3,000 or $4,000 in a couple hour setting, like just talking to people, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm curious, like, if I did go live, how many people would tune in? Like, is like, I got 90,000 people, maybe I'd have 5 viewers or something, right? So I won't know until I try.
Yeah.
But doing, I would eventually like to try and do some live streams, kind of like in the format that Academics uses, similar to that, where he's talking about current events and shit like that. But again, like, I don't know how well that would cut through. And podcasting, I would love to try a podcast. I've never been on one before.
Hey, listen, man, you're on one now. You know what I mean? This is your first official interview, the first of many that are going to be coming in the future. Especially, you know, I feel some of these things that we've spoken about today are going to make a few waves, and people might want to ask you about some of these things later on. So I'm grateful for the opportunity to be the first interview for you, Matt. You know what I'm saying? And I see a lot of great things in the future for you, bro.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, bro. Like, I was more than happy to do this. Like, I was a little bit nervous, to be honest with you, because I was like, is he going to try and be like, what are you doing, white boy, like, type shit? Because that happens to, happens to people. And I'm like, I just really love this shit, you know?
We have a Trappler Ross interview on our channel as well. You know, he's, you know, I tap in with him every once in a while. I welcome everybody into the culture, and I really love what you're doing out here in these YouTube streets, and in this, as well as, you know, just for the culture, you know, bringing different things to light that we might have not known before, and bringing it all together in one video. So, you know, salute to you. Also,
thank you, bro.
Before we get out of here, you know, give the people anywhere where you want them to find you, you know, besides just your social media, any different places that you want to, like a website, whatever, you know what I'm saying? Patreon.
I don't have a website, and I haven't done the Patreon thing yet because, like I said, I'm in the infancy of the channel still. It's only been a year. So yeah, you can check out the channel at What's the Dirt. Check me up on Instagram at @what_the_dirt. And that's pretty much it as far as my social media presence. I don't have a website or anything yet. But the Patreon thing is something I've thought about. It's just like, what am I going to sell people right now, right? Like, I got to try and come up with something creative that is worth their while to pay for it, right? So that's to be seen. Do you have a Patreon?
We do. I haven't been giving it the attention yet because we have a member section on our YouTube channel that kind of handles that kind of trick. You know what I'm saying? As far as like a membership based type of thing. And what we do with that is, you know, your interview and a multitude of interviews that I finish editing, I upload them right away. So people may be able to see an episode or an interview weeks ahead of time before the rest of the audience. So that's what we do right for now. But we're definitely going to be, you know, putting some more attention on our Patreon in the near future.
I'm going to have to subscribe, man, to support the Patreon. But yeah, the YouTube membership thing's something I never really thought about. I saw Vlad. Vlad does that. That's what Vlad does. His membership's probably pretty popping.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what you use it for. You release things early, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
You can get the full interview on Vlad's channel the way that he has this set up. And I don't clip people to death with my interviews, but at least if the interview's ready 2 weeks ahead of time, a week ahead of time, our members can watch that. You know what I'm saying?
That's interesting. That's dope, man. Yeah, I'd like to do a follow-up interview with you like in like six months or a year from now and see where the channel's at. You know what I mean?
Let's make it happen, man. And even if we want to do a collaboration in the future, let's make that happen, brother.
I'm down, man. 100%. I'm definitely down.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
Well, I think that's where we can end this conversation here. I feel that we got a lot of good information on how Matt does his thing, what's the Dirt Channel operates. You know, we got to delve into the mind of the creator, and I feel that the audience will be able to watch those videos and moving forward and be like, yeah, I like that guy, man. You know what I'm saying? He's a real one. All right. So we appreciate you having this conversation with us here today. Before I sign off, I want to give a, you know, big salute to the audience out here. And I didn't give a salute to my sponsors in the beginning. I need to do that right here, quick, fast. Big salute to the sponsors, Diamond Club. That's the sign that you see right behind me. They're the ones that handle the PIF and everything that you need. You know what I'm saying? Hit them up on their Instagram page, DiamondClub_Canada. You can get delivery all over the GTA and across Canada. And if you need some blem, hit up Steaming Hot Grabber. Okay. They got peanut butter grabber, red rose grabber, all that good stuff. Hit them up on their Instagram page, Steaming Hot Grabber. What's the dirt in the building? We are off of this. Deuces.
Yeah, buddy.
We love hip hop.